stand, they talk to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt munch. Also appearing at the Farm Club at thefarmclub.net, sit on your farm and club. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will Rab. And Rab, what show did we just watch, like, mere minutes ago?
That would be SummerSlam 2013, and as we sit here recording this, still trying to find the adjective that best describes one of the best pay-per-view cards that I've ever seen. I think you may have summed it up best, though. You would pay $100 to watch that again.
$100 cashy money to watch that in high def.
You would pay double what we paid for SummerSlam.
Exactly.
To watch the replay.
Yeah.
Not just to buy it the first time.
A show we've already seen, just to watch it again, knowing everything that's going to happen. That's how good this card was. And I'm not... I try to stay away from the hyperboles or the hyperboles. That might be how you pronounce it, depending on where you're from. But I'm really hard to disagree with you, Rab. This was one of the best pay-per-views I've ever seen. Period. In all of my lifetime being a wrestling fan, and that goes back a long time. I'm 28 years old. For 26 years, I've been a wrestling fan. This has been one of the best cards I've ever seen, top to bottom. I mean, you say we're having a problem finding the adjectives to describe it. The only thing that comes to mind is, oh my God. Oh my God. I feel like Joey Styles right now. I just keep pacing back and forth saying, oh my God, just over and over again.
Yeah, we're actually going to have to let Landon go walk around and run a lap around the neighborhood to get the energy out. So while he does that,
I've already had two showers. I'm going to try for the third. Here we go.
Woo! So while Landon tries to compose his thoughts, why don't we run through the results? And obviously, yeah, I guess we should say spoiler alert, but if you're listening to a wrestling podcast,
especially a wrestling podcast that specifically breaks down pay-per-view results,
since this is a rapid reaction edition of Near Fall Radio, I think we may be in the clear.
All right, I'm going to go get back in the shower. You got this, Rab?
I got this for a second. We're going to run through the results of this just amazing card.
All right, I'm going to be fresh and so clean real quick.
We will take a look at the results now of SummerSlam 2013, and we'll start with the pre-show United States Championship match. The U.S. champ, Dean Ambrose of The Shield, defending against Rob Van Dam, or RVD, as people like to call him, amongst many nicknames he has. And RVD did get the disqualification victory after the other two members of The Shield, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, interfered. But, of course, titles don't change hands on a disqualification, so Dean
Ambrose
retains.
Unless it's TNA. Also, I've got to go get back in the shower real quick.
Woo showers!
Be careful around that mic and that water. It might not work out too good.
It's okay. The Butt Munch Chips News has waterproof mics.
Oh, fancy. We're coming up in the world, man.
Welcome to the future, bitches.
Welcome to the future. Then after that, we kicked off the main card with one of the more anticipated matches, and I thought a great way to start the card. Bray Wyatt and his in-ring debut as Bray Wyatt and on WWE television defeated Kane with the assistance of his henchmen. They came up with a great way to overcome that ring of fire. And we have a lot to talk about, so we won't go into detail of that, but go look that up. Go look up the highlights of that and look at their ingenuity.
It was a fun match. Back in the shower.
Then Mr. Tinder in the repository, Damian Sandow.
They were best friends! Still in the shower!
Well, he didn't quite get revenge on Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes was able to uphold the honor of his mustache, and I'm sure he dedicated...
May it rest in peace.
May it rest in peace, and what better way to honor one of the best mustaches in all time, not just wrestling, than with the win over Damian Sandow. Cody Rhodes gets the win. Alberto Del Rio, and
Alberto Del Rio. I'm going to go get back to shower. Showers.
Was able to retain against Christian for the World Heavyweight Championship. And again, great match. First of two Divas matches on the card tonight saw Natalya get the win over Brie Bella. Beth versus the Beast, the co-main event of the evening, which turned out to...
Oh, my God!
I'm not going to... We're gonna break it down in a minute, but really turned out to steal the show. I'm just going to go ahead and say it, folks.
I mean, Christ almighty. This was a good card. But this, if I had to pinpoint a reason why I'm marking out, this is why. Just Jesus God incarnate. What an amazing match.
You said you'd pay $100 to see this card again.
$100.
I would pay $100 for a DVD that was nothing more than that match. It wouldn't even need bonus features or alternate commentary. Just a disc of that match as it was presented on the pay-per-view, I would pay $100 for it. But Brock Lesnar,
his client,
defended the honor of Paul Heyman, I guess, if Paul has any left.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Got the win over CM Punk, and by God, to quote JR, he broke him in half.
Speaking of JR on Twitter, he called this a slobber knocker deluxe.
He doesn't break that out very often. He thought... We'll get to it. We're going to get to the results.
JR ain't a company man, I'll say that.
No. Dolph Ziggler was able to defeat Big E Langston and AJ Lee. He did have Caitlyn at his side, allegedly. But he got the win. And then in what was promoted as your main event of the evening, the final match, scheduled match on the card.
Scheduled match.
Daniel Bryan climbed the mountaintop, ladies and gentlemen.
He got it.
He defeated John Cena in, if Punk and Lesnar had not been on the card, that would have been the match of the night.
Easy. And that's that should really tell you how good this card was.
That should tell you, if you did not see SummerSlam tonight,
you missed out.
Contact your television provider, because they replay these pay-per-views throughout the week. Buy it. It is worth the money.
Well worth it. Even if well you know what's going to happen. So good.
So Daniel Bryan got the win.
It ain't.
But
yeah. There's another result past that.
But in the post match celebration, Triple H turned on Daniel Bryan.
No, Triple H. No.
At the celebration had hit, and the confetti's pouring down, and Landon and I. Well, I guess there's not gonna be a cash in. There's confetti, and we're both nervously just. Please flash up the timestamp,
yeah.
The copyright. Randy Orton's music hits. He comes out. He has a stare down with Daniel Bryan, and right as he's about to walk away, he turns back. Triple H hits the pedigree. Ugh. Randy Orton cashes in, and we have a new WWE champion, the man who walks out of Los Angeles, California, the WWE champion. I hate to say it, internet wrestling community. It was not Daniel Bryan. Yeah. But I would quickly like to give kudos before we go into the breakdown of this card and highlight a couple of the big matches that we'd like to talk about. I'd like to put my broadcast partner, Landon Doan, over, because if you listened to Near our SummerSlam edition, preview edition of Near Fall Radio, Landon, what did you predict?
I predicted that Daniel Bryan was going to beat John Cena, only to lose the WWE Championship to Randy Orton when he cashed in his Money in the Bank. And I'm not one to, you know, get myself over, but, you know, when you're over, you're over.
Great prediction, because we both talked about it, and I actually went back. I listened to the show again on the drive.
Wait,
back
people
up home.
Listen to what we record?
I do, at least. I don't know if I'm people or not, but I listened to it this morning to get in the mood for SummerSlam.
As did I.
Listened to the show again, and you even kind of had me convinced. I said on the record I thought Daniel Bryan would walk out the champion, because I just wasn't sure if we would see a cash in. But
well, and I even said to you, I guess we're going to go ahead and get into our breakdown.
Yeah, that's your results from SummerSlam.
I even said to you when after the match ended, it's like, oh, well, they just blew the confetti. I guess they're not going to do the cash in. And they, for a while, it's like, yeah, okay. Then it's like, wait, what time is it? And you told me it was 15 till the top of the hour. I'm like, oh, God, there is a ton of time left. We're getting a cash in tonight.
Yeah.
And, like, literally, as soon as I sent out a tweet on Twitter saying the beard equals the champ, Randy Orton's music hits. I'm like, son of a bitch.
I just knew it was coming. I knew that they would, because they had a great feud going with John Cena and Daniel Bryan, and they will have that going forward because both John Cena and Daniel Bryan can stake their claim to be the man who will face Randy Orton at Night of Champions. They're both legit number one contenders.
I unfortunately think we're going to be getting a triple threat match at Night of Champions. I'm not a big fan of triple threat matches myself. That's just a personal preference. But yeah, this feud is not over by a long shot. This is just starting, ladies and gentlemen. Strap in.
I mean, it wasn't going to be over anyway. You're going to be able to have a great feud going forward if it was just John Cena trying to get his title back, because he would be the number one contender because he was the champ and he lost. But I think it was kind of smart to have the cash in because it keeps it fresh, especially for the people who are supporters of Daniel Bryan who aren't Cena's biggest fans. Oh, we just got John Cena. He just keeps getting chances.
Well, I do like the cash in of Randy Orton. I really do. I thought the way it was handled was masterfully. I'm a little confused on the Triple H, I guess, heel turn on Daniel Bryan. We'll have to tune into Raw tomorrow night to figure out where that's going at. But, you know, that's part of the fun of wrestling. You have to see where the storyline is going. I have to say it was handled really good, though I am sad to see them not have Randy Orton being the literal snake in the weeds waiting to pounce on a vulnerable champion at the drop of a hat. I'm sad we're not going to see that, though I am really excited to see where WWE programming is going with this now.
Well, I think everybody was thinking if there was going to be a cash-in that after whoever won, because Mr. McMahon didn't like either, and that he would show a Randy Orton because that would be his guy. That's why it made sense to have Triple H be this guy, because nobody really saw that coming.
Well, and I even think I said on our SummerSlam preview, I even mentioned, what if Mr. McMahon wants to have Randy Orton be his champion? Because it seemed like they were every other McMahon was positioning themselves with one of the individuals in the John Cena-Daniel Bryan match. It seems like Stephanie McMahon and Triple H were putting their support behind Daniel Bryan, where it's like, I mean, hell, Vince McMahon even came out and said, John Cena, we don't want you as our champion, yet he was your champion for the last, what, 6 months?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can never, ever, ever trust a McMahon. And when they think they have you going one way, go the other.
If you think you're going one way, then they pedigree you. And yep. Then you lose your newly won WWE championship.
I just want to warn my fellow wrestling aficionados who are on the internet.
Yes, please step off the ledge. It's not the end of the world.
I want to share a quick tweet from one of our saviors, if you will, in the wrestling world. Diamond Dallas Page.
DDP. I'm doing DDP yoga, and I'm seeing results, and I'm an out-of-shape slub, too.
I think this sums up how you and I feel about this, even though there was the initial disappointment, because we really do like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Don't get hot. I think WWE Daniel Bryan is yes, yes, yes. But this is entertainment. He'll want it even more now. Enjoy the ride. And it's that last sentence. Enjoy the ride.
Exactly.
This is a prop on a television show. And we said on the preview show, you have to look down the road. Daniel Bryan's going to get his title run, and he's going to have a long title run, especially when John Cena starts cooling off from the main event scene.
I would actually say we're going to see a Daniel Bryan title run well before that. We're still going to see a Daniel Bryan run when Cena's in his prime. Starting Monday, tomorrow, we're going to get a Daniel Bryan WWE program.
Yes, but my point is, there's a bright future for Daniel Bryan, and because it didn't happen tonight does not mean that the WWE does not believe in him, or he would not have been a part of this tonight.
I do have a point of contention to make with DDP.
Sure.
This is entertainment? What? We're supposed to enjoy this?
I tried to.
What?
I don't know about you. I was well entertained. I was full lathered up, and that was because of this other big match.
Yeah. Oh
that
my
we want
God.
To talk about.
Like I literally took up smoking after this match. That's how good this match was. I had to go outside and find somebody with cigarettes. That's how good this match was.
I think we both summed it up really, really well, if I can find the tweet here.
Well, which tweet? Because I'm just going to go ahead and let the people that don't follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/nearfallradio, you totally should follow us. You and I were going to bananas over
this
Brock Lesnar CM Punk.
We were tweeting faster than we could think.
Yeah.
Couple of tweets. This was one that you put out there on at Nearfall Radio. And you
which
could
you
also
should
check
totally
him
follow.
Out. You can also check him out at Landaws, by the way.
And hey, you can follow The Will Rab at twitter.com/TheWillRab.
Nearfall
Radio.
Nearfall Radio for our wrestling thoughts. So we try to organize them there.
Or that.
I'm sure the mixed tag match was good. But I'm still buzzing over Punk Bork. And then I followed up with, how good was Best versus the Beast? We missed Heel Ziggler and Big E Langston to go cool off. We had to go step outside
yeah,
for a minute.
Yeah, we literally had to walk outside and just walk around while we both muttered, oh my God, just to ourselves.
We had to get some fresh air. I was sitting in the chair in the Palacious But Much Studios.
And these are really nice chairs.
And I was in a sweat. I was breaking a sweat that Best versus the Beast. That's how good it was tonight.
I mean, I wasn't breaking into a sweat, but I was literally on the edge of my seat.
I rarely, if ever, cuss on Twitter, and I was letting it fly.
Whereas I regularly curse on Twitter, yet I was also letting it fly. Seriously, the CM Punk Brock Lesnar match is reason enough to buy the replay.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, let's break that down if it's possible to try to figure out how to break this match down. That
I
we're
mean,
putting over
trying
some.
To put it into words is probably going to be really hard to do because it's like I said earlier, I'm having problems forming thoughts past "Oh my God!" because that's how impressed I was with this card, especially the two matches we're talking about, especially. The CM Punk Brock Lesnar match. That match was amazing. One of the best matches I've seen in years. And like I said, I'm not one for the hyperboles, but at the same time, dudes brought it and went home big.
Okay, I'll try to put some thoughts together, and if you agree with my thoughts, we
yes,
can
please wax poetic.
See how. Okay, so from the jump, you know, I'm just going to take you through like just my thoughts as I'm watching the match. I thought the vignette to set it up was great.
Oh, absolutely.
And the WWE always does really good vignettes.
Well, and you made the point on our last episode, the preview up to SummerSlam. You brought up how good those UFC style shoot promos that they're doing with Lesnar, and it's like I'm really hoping they continue to do that.
Well, great example. Couple weekends ago, I'm a big UFC guy. You're not so much, but we were hanging out,
so
and I
much.
Said, hey, it's Saturday night, you want to go over to Wild Wings and watch the fight and just hang out for a couple hours and drink a beer?
And I said, yes, of course, so there's beer.
Go hang out. And for all of their matches, every match on the card, they have a little promo package.
Yeah, to draw you into this next coming match.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times you'll see name fighters on the main event and then some other guys on the undercard.
The also rans.
You may not
were.
Be familiar with. You know, if you're a UFC honk like me, you know them. I don't even always know all the fighters.
Are they from The Ultimate Fighter?
Some of them are, yeah.
Are they on reality television with the Bellas? On Total Reality Ultimate Fighter Divas?
I'm gonna call Dana White after we get done recording tonight and see if we can combine those shows. But
I would totally watch that.
They do great packages,
especially
that
explain, if one of the Bellas took a roundhouse kick to the head.
That explain to you who's this guy, why is he fighting, and why is he fighting against this guy, and you kind of have an idea when that package gets done who you're gonna kind of root for. And they did the same thing with Punk Lesnar, and it WWE does great video packages, but the UFC style package that they do for those Brock Lesnar fights gives it a big fight feel. And then the music hits, and it's just like, whew, I'm ready to go.
Well, and that's the thing. I said it on our last episode. Anytime Brock Lesnar shows up, to me, I still get that big fight feel. Even though I know he's lurking in the back of the roster, and he could show up whenever he wants to or whenever creative tells him to. But at the same time, it's like anytime I see Brock Lesnar on my live TV, when he shows up at the top of the Titantron, I'm like, oh, shit just got real, ladies and gentlemen.
It's
strap
like
in, because Brock Lesnar's going to tear you out of your seat.
It's kind of like they did back in the day, you know, in the Federation days, you know, they keep Hulk Hogan off of TV.
Perfect example.
That was great before it even started. And they get in the ring, and the bell rings, and Brock Lesnar picks CM Punk up and just moves him across the ring and slams him into the turnbuckle. Then picks him up and does that 3 or 4 times, and you just knew.
The opening segment was really fun because when the bell rang, both of them charged at each other like they did not give one damn what happened. The only difference is CM Punk is 6'1 and weighs 200 pounds, maybe, soaking wet. Brock Lesnar, 6'7", 350-plus pounds. And guess what?
He used it.
Yeah, he used it and then some. I mean, like, I thought at some points he was going to rip Punk's arm out of his socket and just beat him to death with it.
And the spots were just great, and they They were able to trade spots, and Brock sold Punk's offense, and Punk sold Brock's offense, and they weren't afraid to push the envelope.
And see, that's the thing. It's like during the last episode, you said it yourself. They're going to figure out a way for Punk to get his offense in so he looks good. And kudos to the WWE. They found the perfect opportunities to where Punk could break out his offensive suite to the point where it still looked effective and it still looked like he was chopping down the beast. I mean, the segment where he hit two of his high knees in the corner, that was such an effective spot. And then on the third one, when he went to hit that third knee, and Brock just turned him inside out. I mean, that was such a great spot.
Well, I think what helps Punk is he is a good wrestler. And you see that if you have like a Punk-Daniel Bryan match, they can get on the mat and be technical.
Absolutely.
But Punk also kind of brings that Brazilian jiu-jitsu style.
Trains with the Gracies.
To his wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not on the mat, arm bar, technical wrestling. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is designed to beat the shit out of people. It's designed to hurt people. So
An MMA style is designed to hurt people? I refuse to believe that.
They sell Brock as this UFC guy.
As they should.
And he's going to come out, and he's going to fight, and he's all about being a pure ass kicker. And Punk compliments that because he can take his moveset and make it look like it would be something you would see in an actual street fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a street fight. It wasn't booked as a street fight match, but those guys had a street fight, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like you said to me during the match, it's like, I'm not enjoying this because I think this is a wrestling match. I'm enjoying this because I feel like this is a real fight.
I tweeted it. I'm aware it's not a real shoot, but that they
wrestling
look like a shoot fight, and that those guys just wanted to maim each other, and it was awesome. And you can't do that every night. You can't have Punk and Brock can't go recreate that magic every night.
Oh no,
but
not at all.
I think that would be something that going forward, when you find the right guys that can match and be able to sell it and are athletic enough to pull it off, that's when you have these big cards like SummerSlam or Mania. You need to build an angle that can give you a fight like that.
Well, and maybe that's honestly why they've kept Brock off of TV as much as they have, because they only want to bring him out for these situations where it creates the big fight. Like, you only want to create the big fight at your SummerSlams, at your WrestleManias, etc., etc.
We can't go back to the Attitude Era 24/7.
As much as some people want to.
Sometimes, when you have guys who know how to work, like a CM Punk or a Brock Lesnar, it's okay on a pay-per-view to let them push the limits of what this era is. because it makes that big fight feel. Second point, why it works so good for Brock the way they use him, it works good for the WWE, but it works good for Brock because he doesn't want to be on the road all the time. He wants to show up, and he wants to, like, he worked a month or so with this Punk feud, and he might go away for 6 months.
We don't know when we're going to see Brock again, because it's like, this week, he gave an interview with the Los Angeles Times, and they asked him, it's like, all right, tell us about your time with the WWE before you left for the UFC, and your time with the WWE after you've come back from the UFC. And he said the difference is, before he left for the UFC, he was doing the 300 days on the road a year, and he felt like a caged animal, and he said WWE realized that. Now he can come back and work the sweet schedule.
The handful of events a year.
Exactly, yeah. He can work those and come back and feel energized and inject that energy that whenever Brock Lesnar shows up, it just automatically brings.
You could, on as much as I'd love to see Brock show up on Monday night and we get another match from these two at Night of Champions, it's kind of like with Randy Orton and how it could have been with him lurking in the weeds.
Like a snake.
Yes.
I think the snake.
Punk can go on to his next deal, and if Brock's off TV for a while and you don't know when that music hits... Hell, Punk could be in the middle of the Royal Rumble and Brock's music hits. And he comes up there and snaps him in half. It could be Survivor Series. It could be WrestleMania. It could be SummerSlam next year before we see Brock Lesnar. And that's why it's perfect, because as soon as he shows up, the intensity ratchets back up and that storyline is hot.
As soon as he shows up, he reignites that fuse. Because that fuse could lay dormant for months. I mean... For all we know, they could be building for CM Punk Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30, for all we know. And we might not see Brock again until maybe the Royal Rumble, if that's what they want to do. But if that's what they want to do, as soon as he shows up, that fuse is lit. Here comes Paul Heyman to build up his client, Brock Lesnar, etc., etc. But at the same time, it's like, again, even without Paul, anytime just Brock shows up, it's like, oh, shit, it's about to go down.
Yeah, because he is a legitimate ass kicker.
Yeah, and yeah, legitimate.
When he shows up, you know what he's about.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's going to explain what's going on and why he's here, and then Brock's going to show up and kick ass, and then Paul's going to say something stupid.
Say something stupid, Paul. God, that was such a great line. Who'd have thunk it? Brock Lesnar can be funny.
Amazing. Do we want to go back and touch on the WWE Championship match? Are we good there?
We probably should go back and touch on the rest of the matches if they warrant it. Because, I mean, there was a lot of good stuff that happened tonight that wasn't CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, or John Cena, Daniel Bryan. It's like, you mentioned it specifically, the World Heavyweight Championship match between Alberto Del Rio and Christian. That was a fun match. Now, that was the most reaction Del Rio has gotten in like 2 months. Now, whether or not that had to do with the fact he was in the ring with a super competent worker like Christian who could make anybody look good, I don't know if that had anything to do with it. You have to call a spade. They put on a great match tonight.
Del Rio's a great worker. We've never questioned his ability in the ring. He just the fans just haven't been into him. And at the end of the match tonight, they were not happy with Del Rio. Now, can they sustain that? Were they just upset because they really wanted to see Christian win the title?
I don't know. It's like, I'm a big Christian fan, and I know a lot of people out there, big Christian fans. That said, I don't know if people are, you know, crying themselves to sleep because Christian didn't win the title. Well, I know there are people crying themselves to sleep because Daniel Bryan was robbed of the title. Oh, Vince doesn't like him. Sorry.
I kind of wonder where they're going to go with Del Rio. I kind of thought for a second maybe the Real Americans pop back up, because Swagger was kind of sort of the third wheel in that feud with Ziggler and ADR. And Del Rio's very prideful about his Mexican heritage, as he should be, and he's talking about, I'm your Mexican-American champion and all that.
He even got a promo tonight saying that.
Yeah, that's the perfect place for them to cut in, and maybe because they're so disliked, somehow that helps get a reaction for him, whatever way it is.
I don't know. It's like you said that out loud, and it's like, what, do we really want to see heel-on-heel violence between ADR and Jack Swaggles? Not really. Now maybe Swagger could get over in some, like, parallel universe where the Tea Party took over America. Maybe he could get over as a face then, but it's like, I'm sorry. It's like, I enjoy what the real Americans are doing, but there is not one shred of face in them.
Well, you
and
still,
Dutch is good at what he does.
You still have to figure out what to do with Del Rio, because he's still your world heavyweight champion, and he still most nights comes out and gets zilch reaction. So that's something to look at going forward. What else from this would you kind of, are you interested to see how it plays out, other than obviously the WWE match and what happens with Punk and Brock?
I'm honestly interested to see where the Wyatt are going after tonight, because if you didn't see SummerSlam, the way the match finished, the two on the outside, Rowan and Harper, I think I called them correctly this time, right?
Yes.
Huzzah, names are hard. Anyway, those two, they found a tarp or a heavy blanket of some sort.
A fire-resistant blanket that I think they put around the ring for the pyro.
Yeah, so they found one of those, and they decided to cover up a part of the ring of fire to where they were able to climb into the ring, and the Wyatt family was able to just, you know, go gangbusters on Kane with their numbers. But the crazy part is, after the match, when after Bray Wyatt defeated Kane, they dragged his body to the outside, of course, after they put the fire out. Though Kane does like fire. They put his head on the ring steps, and then I guess for a lack of a better term, they quote-unquote decapitated him with the top set of the ring stairs, and then they carried his body off. I'm really curious as to where the Wyatt family is going and what they're doing with Kane's body, and I hope it's nothing sexual, because that would be weird.
I have a feeling that the Wyatt family is going to be growing by the time we
in
get
in Kane's
to the fall.
Butt, that's gross.
No, but I think the Wyatts have ways of persuading people.
Well, you were telling me you wouldn't be surprised if you saw Kane being the newest member of the Wyatt family.
I think they're gonna keep beating him until they get what they. I think eventually he's gonna be a Wyatt.
I wouldn't be surprised if that ended up happening. That said, I'm still hoping for Brothers of Destruction versus the Wyatt family in like a handicap match like Survivor Series or something like that.
Could be building for that too. It'd be interesting to see. So that was SummerSlam, folks. Great card. Like,
amazing.
I don't want to diminish the Wyatt Kane match or the World Heavyweight match or even Damian Sandow Cody Rhodes, because those were all really good matches. And that's what the undercard was really good. And then you got the main events, and they delivered tenfold.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, you mentioned the Damian Sandow-Cody Rhodes match. I'll touch on that briefly, because it's like we're both unabashed Sandow marks. I'm going to put this on me. I said this could be my, quote-unquote, for the lack of a better term, dark horse match of the night. I really feel like the match itself was kind of lackluster, and it probably didn't convert any Sandow doubters tonight, but at the same time, the storytelling was so good.
The storyline's great. The wrestling's coming, and I think that's just a thing of developing Sandow as a young wrestler.
Exactly.
And that's probably why Cody Rhodes got the pinfall, so they can continue that feud.
And that reminds me, my biggest question coming out of this match is, what the hell happened to Cody Rhodes' mustache?
Absolutely. Well,
does President Obama know his mustache is gone? We need to let the NSA know. Come on.
I think.
Does the NSA know where his mustache is? We have to find it, ladies and gentlemen.
I heard from reliable sources that the Wyatt family may have taken it.
That might or might not be true. But I'm seeing Will Rabb telling me we need to end this son of a bitch right now. So we're going to end this son of a bitch right now. Rabb, would you like to plug anything before we get out real quick now?
Yeah, let's throw out our question of the week.
Absolutely. Question of the week, of course, our last question of the week is, who did you think was going to walk out of SummerSlam with the WWE Championship tonight? And I'm not going to say quite a few of you, a couple of you, like myself, called Randy Orton walking out with the strap. But we're going to throw this out here on the twatter. Rab, would you like to ask this question?
Other than John Cena, Daniel Bryan, or CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, because those are obvious choices.
Yeah, because I'm going to say this.
Favorite SummerSlam match.
What other match really got you going tonight? Because I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, there were a ton of matches that were just great tonight. Every match, top to bottom, this is my favorite card of the year. And I'll say this is my favorite card going back the last couple of years. Way better than any Mania in the last 3 years.
I'm going to go ahead and put my answer in for the question of the week, and I'm going to go with the world title match.
That's a good one.
It was a title match, and it was a very strong match, even if I was on the losing end of the finish. But that's okay, because it's not about that.
And I guess if I had to give an answer, I will say the Wyatt family, just based on what are they doing with Kane? And also, does Kane's parents know that he's been abducted?
I think in closing, the best way to sum up SummerSlam, what makes it so good, is we have a lot of unanswered questions.
Dude, I'm looking forward to Raw tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, we mentioned our Twitter several times at Nearfall Radio. Be sure to check us out
on totally
Monday nights.
Follow us.
Follow us, and we live tweet Raw each and every week, and we share our thoughts on the flagship program of the WWE, and we'll be doing that tomorrow night starting at 8 o'clock. So
yep.
Be sure to check it out. Also, follow Landon on Twitter.
And follow Rab. Wait, maybe you should give my Twitter URL.
I was pausing for effect, at Landoz.
Hey, that's me, Landoz. And you should follow The Will Rab on Twitter, and that is twitter.com/TheWillRab, and that's RABB.
Also, check out our websites. All our archives are on buttmunchchips.com, and we have some non-wrestling content coming for you football fans.
Yes.
Checking us out around Labor Day.
Not to mention, if you're a nerd, you're going to love what we have coming down the pike.
We got some good content coming, so check out Butt Munch Chips, and also check out the Farm Club, because Landon writes there, covers wrestling. I write there, cover NASCAR and college football.
And starting soon, you're going to be breaking down a little bit of fantasy, ain't you?
Indeed, yes. I am expanding my horizons. I am in the Farm Club League. I'm in that league and the Macho Man League and a
Macho Man
league.
Championship League is the league that yours truly runs.
Yes,
where the big boys play. If I'm going to borrow a term from WCW.
I'm in three leagues, so we're going to kind of document my experience in how it goes and how the leagues kind of differ throughout the season and how my teams kind of I'm a different teams pan out. So. Be sure to check out the Farm Club. There, lots of cool stuff, regardless
really
of what sport
stuff
you're into. If it's wrestling or football or baseball, hockey,
basketball,
all of it. We have people all over the country who share their opinion, kind of from the fans' perspective on the world of sports.
And that's the thing I really like about the Farm Club. It's written by fans for the fans. I'm not going to say they're written by fans. It's like, these are people who are fans, but at the same time, they have that critical eye that journalists have.
It's well done.
Exactly.
But we don't lose sight of that we were fans first and what brought us to sports.
And everything is slideshows. Wait, no, that's the opposite.
That's
nothing is slideshows.
But be sure to check us out, like we said, on Twitter, at Nearfall Radio, at Landoz, at The Will Rab, at The Farm Club, and also buttmunchchips.com. TheFarmClub.net. Let's close her down for the night. We got to get ready for Raw. It's going to be huge.
So for The Will Rab, I am A. Landon Doan, thanking you for joining us for another episode of Nearfall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. And The Farm Club, thanking you one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, good night.
The proceeding was a Bud-Munch Chips production. For more information as well as older episodes, please visit us online at BudMunchChips.com. Bud-Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch.